He was a stickler and no mistake.
Dust off your poof.
I'm Luke Turner.
I'm John Doran.
And this is the Quietus Hour.
Been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without some passable chat and great new music to step to. Just to quote Eric B and Rakim badly there for a second. I'm John Doran. This is my co-pilot.
Luke Turner, yes. We're back with Quietus Hour, first one in ages. Don't know what went wrong. We just haven't done one.
And that was Apostille.
Apostille, not
all
a
right, pastille. Yeah, like, that's like a fisherman's friend, isn't it? Where
yes.
You can... Well, Apostille. So this is Michael
Kasparis's
band from up in Glasgow.
He runs the Night School Records, which the Quietus loves very much.
So
Anna over there has put a chopstick on her face and has done muscle gestures because she likes Night School Records so much.
And that, to me, sounds like Michael is putting in an early bid to soundtrack the next Nicholas Winding Refn film. And when I hear that song, all I can imagine in my head is Ryan Gosling beating someone to death with a fire hydrant. So, good luck with that.
Ah, it's the things you think about, John. So, obviously, Michael Kasparis also in Anxiety, which is a very different cat of the fish.
Anxiety, very close to my heart.
For steel, yeah, pulp, literally, as it... pumps far too quickly. Anyway, today it's the new Quietus Hour, and we're here to tell you also that we have a whole load of new radio programs under the Quietus Hour umbrella coming up.
It's a big announcement! Do it better!
Oh my God.
Right, Seb, there, our producer, the mighty Seb White, is telling me to be more exciting and put a radio voice on while I'm telling you about these new radio shows. Yes, so we have Hyper Specific. Christian Eade is going to bring his electronic music column to the airwaves. She'll be able to listen to all of his new favourite music. Anna is doing her Anna's Alphabet. She's going to be going through the alphabet with a word, a show, and I think the first one is A for Anal.
Yay!
So A for Anal with Anna's Alphabet. Lovely. And we have Nuts and Bolts, which is a fantastic podcast which looks at female artists and their equipment and recording studios and things like that. And the first, I think, with Jenny Vile's going to be on that.
Nice.
So keep your eyes to the site and your ears to the iTunes subscription if you want to listen to these programs. Seb's nodding, so that's definitely all true. And there's going to be one podcast fee, so you get all of it down in one. And we'll be having... of course, some special guest, special show, Quietus Hours. And I think next one is going to be Andy Bell of Erasure, which I'm very much looking forward to doing.
And we're going to have some special guests to announce next week as well. But in the meantime, is it time for more music?
Yeah, we've got this track from Miss Red, who we loved for a long time. I think we're going to be doing a feature on Miss Red soon. This is great. It's called Dagger.
That bass has disrupted my abdomen. That was Dagger by Miss Red, produced by Kevin Martin, a.k.a. The Bug. And that's coming out soon on his new Pressure label. Pressure, fantastically, are putting out also a new track by Flame One, which you'll hear later in the show. And Flame One is the Bug in conjunction with Burial.
Yeah.
Now, I think I've got a feeling that we're one step closer to my dream collaboration for next year, which is those two producing the next Scott Walker album.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't
Whispering it might come true. Yeah, so that comes out on the 30th of March. And we've had the post today. What have we had in the post?
Yeah, I'm just... Excuse me, John. I'm just sniffing the post. Because unlike, you know, most posts we get in the office, we just got the new Electronic Sound magazine. Fantastic magazine based up in the fine city of Norwich. And the smell of the paper is amazing. The paper stock is smooth and the cover...
Executive poppers, doesn't
executive
it?
Executive poppers.
Not like most of our... most of our posts smells like indie tears, doesn't it?
It does. So you can hear that executive potters there. Executive potters. Executive potters on the executive poppers. Yeah, it's a great magazine, Electronic Sound. And it is the, you know, we don't have a papery thing, but a lot the print press is very much alive.
So there you go. Physical publishers, take care of the smell of your publication first.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. We you know, NME, the physical version, went last week. I don't think, I sniffed it once on the tube, it didn't smell nice. I think if they'd taken, you know, more care of the executive popper nature of their
paper. You can't be
paper.
On public transport holding up, just inhaling from a perfunctory news feature on the Stereophonics, can you, and be taken seriously.
Do you not do things like that?
No, I don't, no.
So, yeah, the NME went, and there was a very good article on The Guardian today by Laura Snapes about why that might have happened.
Who does she blame? Are we allowed to ask?
I don't know. People would have to read it on the internet, wouldn't they, John? But, you know, we wrote for the NME, didn't we, for a bit?
Well, listen, last time I was in touch with NME, I think it was after we put Fat White Family on downstairs at the Lexington for the first time ever, and that was about 5 years ago, and I remember emailing the editor of the NME the next day and demanding somewhat crazily that they put on a blank front page of the NME, but actually it was going to be the gap in between Saul's teeth and just have the words Fat White Family in a close-up of the gap in between his teeth. And I said, if you don't do this, you're going to fail. And they didn't even reply. Who has the last laugh? I'm not laughing, obviously, but, you know. I was right, though. I was right.
It was true, because if you this, you know, the argument is, I think, a quite a correct one, that NME became a genre magazine devoted to one particular sort of kind of skinny jeans indie, and that meant that you're a bit stuck then when fashions change and a lot of those artists don't have much to say about anything. But someone
fair
like
play
Fat White Family...
Fair play to Chrissy, who tried to get him out of that corner that they'd been painted into. But, I mean, she was given... It felt like, to me, as a completely unimportant stringer for only about 16 months on that magazine, it felt like she was given a crack of the whip for about three issues before they tried to force it back into being a new Rock Revolution style.
Because she did some really good covers. It looked dead stylish for a bit as well. But, you know, there was things like Fat White Family, fantastic band, who were of that NME ilk.
And they held them at arm's length for about 2 years.
Yeah,
really
bizarre.
Weird.
Very strange. So, well, that's gone. And now we're going to listen to a...
Talking of Fat White Family.
You're talking of Fat White Family. We're going to listen to Insecure Men. We really love their album. There's a fantastic review by Anna on The Quietus, one of the best reviews we've run in a very long time. It's great, and it's a terrific record. If you're the woman who hit Anna last week at their gig, you know...
Sort yourself out, really.
Yeah. Who punches people at gigs? Tossers. Right. This is Insecure Men and Ulster.
Yes.
curtains, carpets, walls, and ceilings.
I don't know about you, John, but I feel a lot calmer after that.
In theory, I feel a lot calmer, but unfortunately, because of the sleep and the coffee, I don't. Oh. I need my brown medicine. chocolate. And yes, so that was Insecure Men, the latest single by Insecure Men. Yeah, and we saw them at Scala the other night, and Lias came on stage to sing it for him. Yeah. Ah. When I got there nice and early to this gig, and everyone in there was wearing a beret. It's like, how does this message get out to everyone? Is like, there's some sort of Facebook hipsters group where everyone says, I know, should we all wear a beret tonight?
Were you not wearing a beret? You could wear one with
I felt like a Guernsey jumper. I felt like a right twat. Like, I was like, why didn't somebody tell me to turn up wearing a beret?
Do you think that's because of Nathan, because Fat White Family always wears a beret?
Well, I mean, like, I'm going to do a really, like, I'm going to name drop now. I went for a steam and a sauna with Lias yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. And I said to him, look, everyone in there, apart from you and me, was wearing a beret. And he goes, that's Nathan's fault. He's made all of Sheffield like that, and now he's doing it to London as well.
Was Lias wearing a beret in the
No. He seemed a bit dismissive of it. You know what I mean? I think it's maybe the younger lads, you know.
Well, one day I would like to have a sauna with Lias. Right. Anyway. What's next, John?
Well, I think that the next song, we should dedicate it to the leading British intellectual and cosmic thinker who left these shores for new pastures today, Jim Bowen. And this is Mouth on Mars?
Mouth on, ooh.
Give me mouth on Mars. Sydney in a Cup.
Join us at The Quietus as we bring you new regular monthly shows from Quietus staffers and writers. Joining the schedule with founders Luke and John are shows by our reviews editor Anna Wood and our news editor and monthly electronic music columnist Christian Ead. Subscribe now for regular updates at thequietus.com/radio or search The Quietus on Mixcloud or in your preferred podcast provider.
So that was Mouse on Mars, Sydney in a Cup, and Premature. Premature is a fella we met at the Unsound Festival in Krakow called Zach.
Nice guy.
Very nice guy, and is as some other people. And he's got an album coming out in this band. The band's called Premature, and that song is called Light the Ganja, Movements 4
what is
and
he
20.
About?
But yeah, that's. I don't know if some Australian label's putting out, but it's worth having a little Google for it. Now, exciting news. John's come up with an idea for a telly program.
Yeah. So I was like, I couldn't sleep last night, and it came to me. Have you ever heard of the comic strip, The Numbskulls?
No.
All right, so this started in the 60s. It's going on to this very day. It ran for 2 decades in the Beezer comic, which was like a weekly kids comic, like the forerunner to the Beano. And you get a cutaway of someone's head, and the guy's head is full of all these little people who are operating it in the rooms. Now, I've had an idea. Netflix, if you're listening, you can have this on me. It's called Si Casa, Mi Casa, and it's a giant Julian Casablancas' head. And it's got 20 Julian Casablancas all live in his head. But here's the idea for the pilot episode. They're all in one tiny little room, and they don't realise they can open the door and go out. And in that room that they're in for the first 40 years, there's just one copy of the first Velvet Underground album and an unending supply of beer and lines of Chang. But then at the end of the pilot episode, they open the door and one of them gets out and he finds a room with some Naomi Klein books on a bookshelf, a massive bong and a colander wrapped in tinfoil. So, like, you know, I'm saying, like, if you're listening to Netflix, you can have that on me, you know.
Well, I'm sure this your future set. I'll have to say see you later. What a brilliant idea.
The thing that gave me the idea for this TV show, I have to say, is reading the freshly, partially woke, partially engaged with neoliberal Julian Casablancas, who was interviewed on Vulture recently. Did you read this interview?
I read some of it. I lost steam halfway through, I must admit.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer the old Julian Casablancas who never thought about this stuff at all? Or do you prefer the new one who's been thinking about it for a few weeks in a very confused sort of way?
It was quite daft, wasn't it? I mean, I saw somebody making a good point about this interview, which is like, you know, everybody moans musicians are boring, and then you get one just being a bit crackers, and everyone moans again that he's being crackers, you know.
I have to say, for the record, I prefer him to be like this, really, you know. At least I think he's got some way to go, but you know,
I wonder if though future episodes of your TV show inevitably commissioned by Netflix could feature like Tom York's head. There's the opportunities are kind of limited.
Well, I think by series four, my ultimate aim for Si Casa, Mi Casa is by the end of series four, actually Julian Casablancas, when they all escape from the cupboard, the Velvet Underground cupboard, he becomes the world's cleverest man. Well, how about that? That's unexpected, you know.
The new Stephen Hawking. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, last week we had the first of what's going to be a regular series of nights at the Social in London, organised by our Anna Wood. Thanks very much, Anna, for putting on a top evening. We had Goat Girl playing, who came down and played, you know, a venue much smaller than they normally would. And they were absolutely
smashing, weren't they?
They were brilliant, yeah. It was Goat Girl augmented by a bloke doing some synth stuff at the back, but most interestingly by violin. And I was watching it and listening, going, this really sounds familiar violin. And then we kind of realised it was the violinist who used to be in that band Nervous Conditions. And she's joined Goat Girl, and just it just made the whole sound completely different, and
yes,
I loved
indeed.
It.
Georgie from the Nervos.
The Nervos.
But apparently she's got millions of side projects,
yeah.
But we're aware of just one of them at the moment.
She's got a klezmer project as well, hasn't she?
All right, I've still not heard music by that, but if the Nervos were anything to go by, that will be good, because they had a real klezmer edge to it on some of the tracks. The project that we've heard, the intriguingly named Jockstrap, is something different altogether. It sounds like a more PC music influenced, and also chamber music influenced, because Georgia, I believe, is kind of like her and her partner in this group, who is Taylor Sky, met at Guildhall School of Music, and she was studying kind of strings.
She's
obviously
doing, yeah, jazz violin, I believe.
Jazz violin. And okay, so they're about to release an EP in summer with Kaya Kaya, and she's conducting a 21-piece orchestra, which was recorded by Grace Banks. But in the meantime,
is that Grace Banks who wrote the article for us? Ah, it is. Anna's nodding. There we go. Yeah, in the meantime, we've got a song. I really love Jockstrap. They sort of sound like a creepy CD broadcast or something. And this is a really fantastic track, and it's called I Want Another Affair.
Lesbo and you, orange woman. floors beside the door. We had fun, but an awful bore. You said things you didn't mean. It didn't matter, I didn't care.
The Quietest Hour with Luke and John.
So how we gonna get about the trap? Guns and books sell crack or rap. Street living, hustle or hoops. Guns and books get shot or shoot. Street living, ain't no rules. Break the law, make the breaking news. The life you choose could be the life you lose. Niggas getting stuck for them Nike shoes. Street living, ain't no joke. It's a cold world, better bring your coat. Revoke, cause the streets are broke. And now they wanna take away our dreams and hopes. Street living, no economics. No way out of the Reaganomics. Affected by the black plague, new bubonic. No comprende, we speak Ebonics. Street living, what's your position? You could take action and take a dick. Listen, you could get fucked by the system. Or you could say fuck the system.
That was the Black Eyed Peas, who are now no longer going to get played at my son's seventh birthday party. They were a surefire
Were they going to
year.
Before?
Well, I've played them before. I can't say that I'm a massive fan, but, you know, it's a floor filler when you're dealing with 5 and 6 year olds, you know.
Well, this is the thing, you see, with Black Eyed Peas. They're not my kind of thing at all. But we had a piece on The Quietest today, which is very interesting, looking at their music in a sort of Afrofuturist tradition. And Will I Am's state as the idea of him as being the upgraded new Negro. It's an absolutely fascinating piece on The Quietest today, which probably means we should talk about what else is on The Quietest at the moment. You might have noticed, regular readers, that we've kind of upscaled our cultural breadth in recent times. Bobby Barry has taken over not just the art section but also film and books. So at the weekend, it's like your cultural supplement that you don't get anymore because nobody likes printing paper. Film reviews, art reviews, book features, all that sort of stuff. And what else have we? What else have we got? Well, we had Paddy. Thanks, Paddy, for putting together Quietest Writer's 40 Favourite Compilation
Dangerous
Records.
Feature, that. I can feel my...
Dangerous feature.
Yeah. Dangerous feature, because as soon as I kind of read it, I was subbing it on screen, and then I looked down and my right hand was typing Discogs into an open window. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what Dangerous. Did you spend money?
I'm going to spend too much money because of that feature. But sign of a good feature.
Sign of a good feature. Thanks, Paddy, for putting that together. And bringing me tea while wearing a spectacular pair of trousers. I always like that sort of thing. We mentioned Flame 1, didn't we?
And now, let's listen to it then.
Yeah, well, let's listen to it. This is The Bug and Burial.
Quietest Hour with John Duran and Luke Turner.
That's just the way you make me feel. That's just the way you make me feel. Just the way you make. There's nothing better. that's just the way you make me feel.
And that was Janelle Monáe with her song about Elizabeth II of England in when she was only 21 years old. Sexual Brenda, I think it's called. And clearly an homage to Prince. And during this, we were saying that if you said, Luke, that if you try and sound like Prince, sound like that.
Well, Mighty Seb White was saying, I don't like this. It sounds like a pastiche. Sounds too much of a Prince ripoff. But, you know, when I try and sound like Mr. Prince, I don't sound anything like that.
Do you sound
that.
More like Prince Philip when you... yes. Rather than Brenda.
Without the racist bits, yes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just the nautical bits.
Do you want to give us a quick burst of Prince?
No.
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 I thought
no.
I had you then. But.
Yeah, no. My Prince remains in the bedroom. So, yeah, John, I'm wearing my tootle today because it's cold. I'm wearing my tootle indoors. Mm-hmm. And I've been worried about my tootle because I got coffee down it. And it's look at that. It's lovely. Lovely paisley tootle. I don't know how to wash it because it's like a silk tootle scarf.
Why? I have no advice for you on this yet, although I will go and Google it later on. But that brings me neatly onto something I've been thinking a lot of recently, which is I am rapidly entering the no washing phase of my life. And I don't mean myself. I'm still I have a shower about 2 or 3 times a day. Once you consider swimming,
yeah.
But what I mean is you see these jeans?
Yeah.
They arrived in the post from Nigel Caborn this morning.
Another pair?
What? It's only my second pair. Every year I buy a pair of jeans and a pair of trousers. I don't think that's extravagant, is it?
No.
Well. Are you joking? 2 pairs of trousers in 1 year? That's not that bad.
I bought 2 this year. It's acceptable. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. For normal folk like me and you, it's okay. But these trousers, now, let's have it straight. They look fantastic, but they're not going to look... Look at the turn-ups on
that's
that.
That's very
amazing.
Nice, yeah.
But they're not going to look good for long if I wash them.
No.
Like I feel like punching people when they say, we'll just turn them inside out. That doesn't make any odds. The only way forward with jeans, once you're out of the running for the bus phase of your life, is just don't wash them.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to smoke indoors anymore. There's no good reason for you to wash your trousers.
Just air them out. You know, these exactly. my cords from old...
For those who didn't hear that, like Anna's pointed out that I don't have periods, which is true. Yeah, it is true.
But yeah, my trousers I got from Old Hat in Holt. I washed them once because I did get some mud in the corduroy grooves, and you don't want that. But I don't wash your trousers unless you're having a period.
So I got my last pair of trousers from Nigel Caborn. I washed them, then the very next day I got run over by a car. Coincidence? I think not. Now, there's one way that you can get around this. If you're starting to get a bit icky, maybe you're a little bit Howard Hughes-esque about like imagining there being germs everywhere and stuff like that. Apparently, if my barber, Barry the Barber, tells me that you can freeze him.
Yeah,
you
and it kills the
jeans
bacteria.
And it brings them to the surface, and then you just scrape it off with a knife.
Like the Romans did when they went in the saunas again. I know a lot about the saunas.
They had
the skidia thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find that weird, though, isn't it? Because it means if you have got stinky trousers, it's because of all the little microscopic bacteria farting or something. It's quite horrible.
You've just spent 12 hours in chariots. Of course, you've got to wash them then, but, you know...
You don't wear trousers in chariots, John. That would defeat the point. If you've been out raving in your trousers, I do think you should wash them after that.
I would have a special, less special pair of trousers for raving in, to be brutally honest. You know, as long as you don't wear kind of formless grey jogging bottoms, I think it's fine, really.
You shouldn't
isn't
do
it?
That. You shouldn't
Everyone
do that.
Looks like a sexual wrong case in grey jogging bottoms, don't they?
Funny you should say that, John, because it is actually a thing on the internet.
Is it?
Yeah,
well,
men
you
in,
know about this. Go ahead, tell us.
Men in joggers is quite a it's a niche enthusiasm with certain etchings on the internet. Young men, possibly people who come around your house and fix something up wearing grey bottoms. If you next time you see a fella walking down the road in a pair of grey jogging bottoms, just lower your eyes by 45 degrees and you'll see why this is possibly a popular genre in Gentleman's websites.
I see. You get a good look at his knees. Yes. Excellent. Well, like, I was, it's glad to know that even when I'm not trying, my mind is connected to some sort of slightly invisible layer of filth that permeates all things.
It's the way of being, John. We've got another new song now. What's this one? It's The Return of Smooth.
I don't know any of the people involved in this next band. I sort of know Joe, who's the guitar player in this band. They're called, help me out now, they're called Pre-Goblin, which is, I believe, is a pun on the name of the now currently popular kind of epilepsy treatment, which is used as a painkiller as well, called Pre-Goblin. And it's used, I believe it has like an unofficial use as helping wean people off heroin, which I would definitely imagine is why this band are called that. So it's like Alex Sebley, who used to be in the Saudis, and he wrote some songs for Fat White Family. He co-wrote Touch the Leather, which is, you know, an excellent tune. And he is now, it sounds like he went through a difficult period for a few years, but now he's got this band together. I saw them at the Scala the other night. I'm still formulating my opinions on what I thought for most of the set. It was just not, I thought with a name like Pre-Goblin, they were going to be like, I thought they were going to sound, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I thought they were going to be a heavy metal band. I'd had it in my head they were going to be a heavy metal band. And I turned up and they were like this smooth mid-80s kind of slap bass kind of disco band. It was really weird. But this song, oh my goodness, this song is absolutely amazing. I'm not even sure if we're supposed to be playing it, but anyway, I'm sure it's fine, really. Anyway, my Blurric hit of the summer that's about to happen, Pre-Goblin with Combustion. Smokes, Batman. That is amazing, that song.
I love that.
He does this amazing thing with his voice where I think the real bass effect you get in there, it's just a pitch-shifted vocal with him singing along at like half the, you know, an octave lower or whatever. Anyway, fantastic. Got high hopes for that band.
So we have pretty much come to the end of the Quietus Hour for this week. We'll be back in a month, but remember to subscribe on iTunes, have a hunt around on Mixcloud, because there's going to be all the other programs like Hyperspecific, Anna's Alphabet, Nuts and Bolts, and probably some guests you might have heard of as well, like Erasure.
Ooh.
And what are we going to think on Sunday? We had a great night on Sunday at the Rocket Recordings 20th birthday. What a fantastic mixture of music was on. We had Zimpel Jaulek. Finally, I've worked out how to pronounce his name. It was very funny. Kuba Jaulek was like, anybody who can pronounce my name gets a free CD. And obviously, there was loads of Polish people there. And one of whom bellowed really sort
of
operatically.
Singing in Polish. Yeah, it was great.
And they were amazing. And then Anthropomorph.
Yeah, they were fantastic. It was like what's in Futashucha mixed with Butthole Surfers, but from Bristol. Amazing.
That was great. Two drummers, I always love that. And then Teeth of the Sea, Return of Teeth of the Sea. They were
fantastic. Oh, my. Yeah. So Teeth of the Sea, first of all, that was the best gig I've seen him do in ages. Secondly, I was a bit like, well, what's the new material going to sound like? They've gone through lineup changes and they've been quite quiet for a while. But they played three, so their entire set was all new material. And I've got to say, two or three of the songs were absolute barnstormers, weren't they? Well, the new ones, which I didn't recognise.
Oh, yeah, they were great, very ravey.
Yeah, really good. There was the mad Josh Wink one, but not just that, the one with Jimmy's lead guitar on it. Absolutely fantastic. And then they ended with a mighty Responder, which featured Chloe Harrington of Valve and Knife World on saxophone. Uh-huh. And weirdly, some guy who looks exactly like Mike on a second trumpet player. Yeah. What's all that about?
that was bizarre. Yes, that was great. Looking forward to hearing their new album for T2C.
But.
Flipping heck.
Oh, my goodness. Oof. Now, listen, I have to say, I feel that there was some discomfort maybe from Nod's camp, how they're a very progressive band. They don't like repeating themselves. They like always switching up. As soon as people get used to them in one guise, they turn around and do something new. You know, there was that time where they were just building up a head of steam, so they immediately gave away all the guitars and all started doing electronic music or whatever. And I think that's really good. You know, there's many, many other bands would have thought, oh, we're starting to get somewhere, let's just stick to this. Mm. But like, Nod always switch it up. I think because it was Rocket's 20th birthday, they kind of broke this rule for a one-off and said, right, we're actually going to do some old material. And like, you know, to celebrate, you know, the 10 years that have passed and look back. And I've got to say that, you know, I love them as a progressive band, but also I climbed all the way to the top of the mountain where the air is at its purest and the sun's scorched my retinas until all I could see was pure gold.
Yeah, you know? It was.
And also I loosened my earplugs and my hearing hasn't come back.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I know. It's such a stupid thing to do, wasn't it? But when they ended on that like 20-minute version of Tony's first communion, that was something else, wasn't it?
It was absolutely. It was just so heavy. And it was that thing where, you know, when something goes so far through heavy and brutal that it becomes utterly joyous on the other side. Which is
brutal and transcendent,
which was
wasn't it?
A very happy spot. It was so heavy. It was absolutely wonderful. I was actually, I don't know, because I still think it sort of sounded progressive there, because they're able to do that, aren't they? When they're being like a sort of motorbike rock band, they still sound like a one from the future. I think. There's nothing trad about anything that they do. I think they're incapable of that. The energy was just coming off the stage was so good, and the visuals were amazing. I had that sort of screen behind them with all the slogans from last year's album flashing up. It was absolutely incredible. I loved it.
So, but it wasn't just a retro thing. They opened with the opening track from their new album. Now, their new album is called Chapel Perilous. It's coming out on Rocket Records on the 4th of May. And we're getting the first ever play of the opening track, which is Pour Yourself a Brew, turn this up as loud as you can have it, the 17-minute new song, Donovan's Daughters. Seriously, if you're that way inclined, I would actually take your top off, put your best hat on and face north. And just wait for the drop. The drop, just when you think it can't get any better, about 12 minutes in, we'll listen for the drop. It's just beautiful.
So we're going to finish with Nod. Thanks very much to Seb White, our mighty producer. And thanks to you, John.
Thanks to you, Luke.
And thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
God, that's over. Time to put the poof back in its dusty slot.
You were enduring the Quietest Hour podcast, and if you're a real glutton for punishment, you can listen to the entire programme featuring all the music via our website at thequietest.com/radio.
If you'd like to support what we do, there is a support button on the front page of the website where you can make donations and help us carry on our fantastic work.
Or you can just pay us to stop.
The Quietest Hour with John Duran and Luke Turner.